Om Shanti. Welcome back. It's not a question that you have to answer me, so you don't have to put up your hands or anything. But it's a question for self-reflection for yourself. Think back over the last half hour and just ask yourself, was I able to maintain the awareness of the soul and be in charge of the body? I leave the question with you. And the second question, again, totally personal for your own reflection. It's not an examination, but for your own reflection. Was I able to look at others as souls, as shining stars? Okay. So first step of meditation is to go inwards. And even when I'm engaged in other things, to stay in that awareness of being inside. And it just simply means that my thoughts continue to move in a very positive way. Yesterday, Daddy told you about this person who's still a meditator, and she's a good friend of mine. And Daddy gave her this homework: write down a list of the different types of thoughts that come when you're soul conscious, and then the contrast when you're body conscious. And even if you don't come up with a list of 60 points like she did, even if it's 5 or 10 or 20, it's really very, very good homework for yourself personally to see the contrast of what happens when you're soul conscious, what happens when you're body conscious, when your identification is with the body. And identification with the body is extremely deep. Why? Because we've had it for such a very long time. We've had it since before we were born. From the moment the soul entered the mother's womb, it connected with the body and it stayed in that connection till now. And so the closest possession that the soul has is the body. Other possessions have come later, and you can see how attached we get to possessions. But the possession that I've had the longest is this. And so I'm very, very attached to it. And so to separate my identity and my consciousness from this possession, it takes not hard work, but attention. I have to keep reminding myself again and again and again. I want to look at the inner aspects of the soul now. Soul is separate, body is separate, and I have to be in that awareness and make this function. That's clear. And in meditation, I have to simply forget about this. In meditation, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not doing anything, I don't have to say anything. That's the beauty of Raj Yoga meditation. I can just simply set aside the consciousness of the body and just focus on here. But what I'm doing when I'm going in here is dealing with the inner energies. In India, they describe these as the physical organs, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the hands, the feet, all of these things. But they also speak about the subtle organs. And the subtle organs of the soul are the things that you've heard about: mind, intellect, impressions. Do you know the word samskaras? Have you been introduced to that word? Okay, most of you have. Anyone who hasn't? Okay, a couple. So, if I translate samskaras, it means the imprint that's left on the soul as a result of the experiences that I've been through. So, the words I've spoken, the actions I've done, the feelings I've had, the experiences, good or bad or not so good, whatever it is, all these leave an imprint. And just a very quick recap: thought, action. An action creates samskara, imprint, and from the imprint, the next thought. Right? You remember this circle. And the bit that I haven't mentioned, which is actually the most important, and I didn't mention it because we've forgotten about it in body consciousness, which is that bit. Intellect. I hear a few voices coming through. Intellect. So what should be is that it's thought, intellect, action. But we've forgotten about intellect for two reasons. Our very, very busy lifestyle. Ask a child, can you come and see me tomorrow? And they'll say, let me check my diary. And even little children are busy, busy, busy. And so even they have to check their diaries now. What am I doing? And so, in the busyness of our lives, there's no time to stop and pause and ask a very important question. Should I? Should I not? The thought comes and it has to be put through into action. There's no time to lose. I can't stop. I can't pause. But of course, in a negative atmosphere, negative imprints get stimulated, negative thoughts, negative actions, and there's a vicious circle that we get tied up in. It's also actually the addiction circle. And how many addictions do we have today, and the number of addictions, and whether it's substance addiction or habit addiction, it's huge. And so the way to break addictions and the way to transform the soul between thought and action, the filter, the intellect. And just a moment, should I not? Here's somebody who's been rude to me, and I can give them as good as I get. They say one word, and I can say at least a dozen. And so, action, reaction, and it goes back and forth, and a little situation flares up and becomes huge, and becomes a conflict that can last for years. Except that at that moment, when the thought came, that I can give as good as I get, another thought. What do I really want? I want peace. Now, can I respond with peace? What is it that I really want to do? So they're saying whatever they're saying, but how should I respond? I want to respond with peace. And then instead of the action-reaction story, there's a very different story. There's a response of peace. And I'm breaking that addiction cycle. I'm breaking the action-reaction story. And I'm creating a new beginning. A new story is being written. Just simply by pausing for a moment and asking, what do I really want? Do I want to continue with this trap? Or do I want to respond with peace? And so this filter that's there within the soul, we call it the intellect, which is different to intellectual. And again, many of you are familiar with Sanskrit, Hindi, the buddhi. So the sanskara, the inference, and you could see I had to use 10 words in English to describe sanskaras, and in Hindi it's one word. So can I continue with one word rather than 10? Okay, sanskaras and buddhi, the ability to discern right from wrong. The conscience is part of it, but it's also the vessel, the container for knowledge, for wisdom, for truth. And it's all within this point of light, this point that you see. That's it, this point of light. But the buddhi, this container, this receptacle, when the information in that is, I am a body, then it loses power. It has no control. Because when I'm the body, who controls my mind? It's external circumstances. And in the awareness of I, the soul, the buddhi has this knowledge, this information. And more than that, this belief. I now believe I am a soul. And even more than just belief, the buddhi now has the faith. I have the conviction. I have the faith. I'm not a body. I am a soul. And so when the buddhi has this wisdom, this knowledge, I am a soul, then thoughts are my creation. I can choose what type of thought to have. When the buddhi doesn't have this information, the mind is under external influence, and so sometimes my eyes will pull me. I see something. I want it. Whether it belongs to me or not is irrelevant. I want it. And there's no control. When I have the information and the belief, the faith, I am a soul. And the mind says, I want this. The buddhi instantly kicks in and says, I don't need it. I have everything I need. And so the buddhi is the power with which to control the mind. The mind has no discernment capacity. Good thoughts, bad thoughts, negative thoughts, waste thoughts, it doesn't know. It's a machine that's generating thoughts continually. And this is why it's got exhausted. You know how tired people feel nowadays? And it's not because they've been working so hard, because there's lots of machines we have to do all the hoovering. It's got lots of machines to do all the washing up, lots of machines even to chop the vegetables, lots of machines to do your work, the computers. You know, we've created all these time-saving, labor-saving devices. So we're not too busy because of all of those things. The machines are supposed to serve us, but we've become a slave to the machines. You switch on your computer and you start looking for some information. At what point of time do you switch off? One thing, another thing, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour later, you're still fascinated by what's coming up on your computer. So what happened? The machine took over. And so the mind just gets distracted by all these things that we've created, and we're supposed to be controlling them. But instead, they're controlling us. Do you feel like that sometimes? That your life is being controlled by machines all the time? So, that's because the buddhi has become so weak because we're not aware of its power and we've forgotten to use it. You know, they have an expression for the body. Use it or lose it. You don't use your hands, your arms, your feet, your legs. What's going to happen within a few years' time? You lose the capacity. Literally. My father was in a wheelchair after having had a fall. He's 88 now, so he had a good life. There was a fall, not a very serious one, but enough to put him out of action. And he was in a wheelchair for a few days. And very soon, he insisted on getting up from the wheelchair and start walking. And people around him were a bit concerned, you know, have to be careful, have to be careful. And he just smiled and said, well, if I don't use it, I'll lose it. And he was totally aware that we got into the habit of just being in the wheelchair. 3 months, 6 months down the line, he wouldn't have the energy to actually start walking again. And so that's one little example, but it's very, very real. But the same thing is true in here. Use it, or you lose it. There's somebody who's 100 and something. He was in the papers in London a few days ago. And he and his wife are celebrating their 87th wedding anniversary. 87th. Real story. And this guy is being interviewed. He's 100 plus and his wife is also 100 plus. And he's saying that why we've stayed together is because we laugh together. Good mantra. And also we appreciate each other. But he also said he does word games to keep his mind alert. And in the interview it was very clear, very alert. And so my point, use it or you'll lose it. It's a reality. And so the buddhi, the conscience. When did you use your conscience? When did you exercise your will and say no? And you stuck with it. Or there's a voice that says no, and then you say, it's okay, you know, just once, just this time, just the influence of company. So I don't use it, I lose it. The power of the intellect has become weaker and weaker and weaker. The voice of conscience has become softer and softer to the point where practically can't hear it now. And so spirituality and soul consciousness is saying, wake up. And so now the intellect awake. And the buddhi is saying, I am a soul. And the buddhi now checking the quality of thoughts. Do I want this thought to come through into action? Or do I say, stop? And so, negative thoughts gone, weak thoughts gone, wasteful thoughts gone, and only thoughts based on truth now being allowed through into action. And when we are meditating, that's exactly what we're doing. It's not stopping thoughts, and that's actually practically impossible. Have you ever tried stopping your thoughts? What happens after 30 seconds? Whoosh, more waste thoughts come. The purpose of the mind is to generate thoughts, and you can't tell it stop. But the purpose of the intellect is to channel thoughts in the right direction. And so, I'm soul. I know this. I've gone inside. I've come to the awareness. I am a soul. What sort of thoughts do I want to have now? Thoughts related to truth. And the truth is that in my original state of being, there is peace. When I forget I'm a soul, then I say, what is peace? I've never experienced peace. Where do I find peace? Never am peaceful. Everybody's making me peaceless. And it's true. There's 1,000 things that can make you peaceless. And how many things that can make you peaceful? One. Only one. 1,000 things can happen. Even here. Why do they put so much sugar in the tea? Why do they do many, many things? Or the sun is too hot. Or why isn't there any sun? It's, you know, anything can cause waste thoughts. 1,000 things. But only one thing can generate peaceful thoughts. And that is when I know I am a soul. That's it. I'm a soul. My original state of being is peace. And so I create that thought. And even then there'll be something in the back of my mind saying, but I'm not very peaceful. How can I say I'm peaceful? Okay, stop, stop, stop. Wait. I'll come back to you. I am, in my original state of being, peace. And so you hold that thought. It's not a mantra that you repeat, but it's an awareness that you create. So conscious thought creates awareness, and awareness creates experience. I become aware. My original state of being is peace. And it begins to filter through, and you begin to experience peace. And so you're not stopping thoughts, but you're channeling thoughts in the direction of truth. And I'm talking about peace because that's the first step. But Daddy was talking about purity, about love, truth, joy, power. All of these qualities are mine. For real. It's true. And it's true for every single soul. Every single soul. But I don't give myself time to experience this. And the lovely mantra she gave you, be your own good friend. How do you make a friend? By spending time with them. If I don't spend time with somebody, how can they be my friend? Okay, question. When was the last time you spent time with yourself? So now you're here, you have the opportunity to spend time with yourself. This afternoon, rest. Yes, you need to do that, especially if you were up to here at 4 o'clock in the morning. We don't want you to be exhausted by 6 p.m. because there's lots of other things that will happen after 6 p.m. So take a break, give the body rest, give the mind rest, but also in a quiet time, spend time with yourself, getting to know your original identity, not just your present personality, but your original identity that is filled with all these ingredients. This body, carbohydrates, protein, water, oxygen, you know, all of those things, true. But the soul, what are the components of the soul? It's these qualities. And so when I meditate, I'm getting in touch with myself, using my thoughts as the vehicle to be able to connect with myself and experience these qualities. And so the intellect is a very, very powerful tool to control the mind, to discipline the mind. In India, they describe it as the reins that control the horse. So the horse is running, but it doesn't know where to go. It doesn't know the destination. And so it's just running wild here and there, and its energy is just being dissipated. But once you've put some reins on the horse and made the horse your friend, then the horse will take you to the destination. And the destination is self-realization. And so you have to make friends with your mind. Not only can I be my best friend, but I can be my best friend when I've made my mind my best friend. And the reason why WHO now says that the fastest growing illness in the world, guess what it is? It's not flu, it's not AIDS, it's none of these things, it's actually mental health. The fastest growing illness is mental disease. And so it's because we don't know how to make our minds our friends. And so our minds have gone off all over the place, and depression is the disease that you hear about the most currently. And so now, I, the soul, I know I am the creator of my own thoughts, and so I bring my thoughts back to where I want them to be, connected with the inner being, moving in the right direction. I want to talk a little bit about soul consciousness through the day. And through the day, this practice. I gave you homework for half an hour, but now I'm going to extend that. I'm going to give you this homework for 24 hours. Between now and tomorrow, practice. Practice soul consciousness. And then Sister Aruna, or one of your other guides, is going to tell you how to extend that 24-hour homework further. I won't tell you now for how long, but you can extend it further. But for the moment now, 24 hours, which means even before you go to sleep, come back here. And when you awaken, first thing, come back here. Set the compass in the right space. Otherwise, if this compass goes out of line, then everything goes haywire. But if you set this compass right, then your dreams will be sweet dreams, no bad dreams. And when you awaken first thing, you set the compass right and the day will be wonderful. And so the practice of soul consciousness, it becomes a natural thing. And you'll be able to see the difference in the way you look. Is my vision sweet? You'll be able to feel the difference in the tone of your voice. Is there an edge of irritation? Or is it very calm and collected? So you'll be able to check it for yourself. But the other thing that happens with soul consciousness is that, yes, the quality of your thoughts is as it should be, but also your feelings. Have you ever tried checking your feelings? We wait for somebody to make us happy, right? If something doesn't happen as I want it to happen, then I say, well, you know, it's because they did this. This is why I'm feeling sad. That's normal, isn't it? Well, yes, in the way the world is today, that's normal. But that's also being a puppet of other people. They pull the strings and they make you happy or they make you sad. Do you want to continue to do that? Raj Yoga has, the word itself, the term itself has many interpretations. So yoga, union. And that has many ideas, but firstly today, the union and the harmony within myself. And we'll pick that up again in a minute. But also, Raja. You know the word Raja? The king, the ruler, the master. And again, many interpretations. But in this one, the ruler of the self, the master of the self. And where at the moment, we're slaves. You know, man is born free and yet everywhere finds himself in chains, and man in the generic sense, the human being. So we're born free, but we find ourselves with many masters. True. Circumstances, people, situations. My senses, my tongue becomes my master. How many of you have felt that? No, I don't want to eat any more chocolate. And then something happens and half an hour later, well, that was just today. Tomorrow will be another day. And so my tongue becomes my master. My eyes become my master. So we're born free, but many masters, many chains. And my habits are the biggest chain of all. And so Raj Yoga is saying, practice soul consciousness. Practice the inner awareness of the soul. And you can be your own master. You can be the master of yourself. I, the soul, the intellect in charge, and the senses won't take over, because this capacity, yes or no, the filter is working. So even though the thought will come, but the filter works, and it doesn't come through into action. But more than that, I, the soul, and I keep my thoughts as I should, and my thoughts create my feelings. Repeated thoughts create feelings. The thoughts will come and go quickly, but once feelings have been created, they don't go so quickly. They stay, and sometimes they stay a very long time. And situations have changed, my thoughts have changed, and I've even forgotten what created the feeling, but the feeling is still there. And the longer I allow it to stay, the deeper it penetrates, and it stays and stays and stays. And so I become a slave to situations, and I'm fine one moment, but something happens and my feelings change, and I don't know how to deal with it. And so our moods fluctuate. Instead of having a state of stability and consistency, one minute it's okay, the next minute it's not okay, and people will say, you know, don't go to her now, she's in one of her off moods. And they'll watch, what is my face saying, what are my eyes saying, is my mood okay or not okay? Yeah, go to her now, she's in a good mood, she'll say yes. Have you done that? Or have you had others do it to you? So, to be the master of my feelings, so that my feelings are constantly pure, elevated, positive, so my feelings always healthy feelings, and my feelings and my state of body are very, very deeply connected. My feelings hurt, and it has an impact on the body. My feelings of anger, and yes, the impact on the body is measurable. You can measure how the blood pressure rises, you can measure how the heart is racing, and all of these things. And so my mind, my thoughts, my healthy, my feelings strong and stable and healthy, and more likely that my body will be strong. I've known you since 1957. I was little when I met her, and I don't know any other human being who has been through so many physical illnesses as Dadi. She's had a cough for the whole of the time that I've known her. But sometimes it gets worse with the cold weather or whatever. Sometimes it's more manageable. But I've seen her go through paralysis. I've seen her go through thyroid underactivity, where in those days London doctors weren't able to diagnose. And so she went down and down and down and down. I mean, for 2 years it was not diagnosed, can you imagine? So I've seen her go through, she's had two heart procedures, she's had gallbladder, the list is endless, you know, it's on and on and on and on. And yet, she's still around. And yet she's still able to give us her love and wisdom and guidance, and we want her to live forever, and maybe she will. Who knows? But why? How come she's been able to go beyond all these physical illnesses that keep coming? Yes, whatever is the condition of her fragile body, and her body is extremely fragile, but the soul is so strong that she keeps the body moving. Everyone's love, everyone's good wishes help her. God's power helps her. But most of all, her stable mind helps her deal with whatever is the condition of the body. So if you want a living example of how to be the master of matter, you can see it. Master of mind, you can see it. So none of these things, the theory, and I'm talking about Dadi because you had a chance to see her, but there are other Dadis, and of course Brahma Baba, the first master, and others learned from him. And so many, many examples of how you can be the master of your mind, you can be the master of matter, you can even be the master of time. I've seen Dadi conquer time. You know, she'll say, I need 15 minutes more, and she'll get on with it and not listen to us, and the flight will wait for her. I've seen it happen so many times. If something's important, she's going to give it her attention, and everything will wait for her, really. There's many examples of that also. But how do I become the same? Very simple practice. I, the soul, am going to keep my thoughts very clean, very pure. No bad thoughts about myself, no bad thoughts about others, and so my clean thoughts create clean feelings. Very good feelings, very healthy feelings. And for most people, what happens, one moment, I'm feeling fine, everything's okay. And then, a little conversation, and we don't identify it at that point, but just half an hour later, the same person, and you're not feeling good. What happened? And you trace it back, and you can identify at what point of time the quality of thoughts changed, the quality of feelings changed, and it's as if it's the end of the world. And it's not, but it feels as if it is. And so to be the master of my thoughts, I, the soul, keep my thoughts on track. Let my thoughts be filled with the goodness of my inner being. There is truth inside, there is beauty inside, but let me emerge it, and being the master, I can do that. Connect with what's inside my own inner treasure store and bring it up, emerge it, express it. Or if I forget, and it all goes down again. My peace is lost, my love is lost, everything's lost. But remember, and you can be the master. And the more I practice this mastery through the day, my thoughts, my awareness, my feelings, when I have an opportunity to sit down to meditate, I, the master of the self, I, the soul, connect with my inner treasures and emerge that state of peace. And I can feel peace being my natural state of being. Emerge the love inside. Emerge the happiness from within. And that's meditation. As you're walking down the road, you can feel it. When you go for your silent walk in the morning, feel it. And that's meditation in action. But it's something to practice through the whole day, not just for 10 minutes or 15 minutes when you have a chance to sit down. And if you keep practicing this, then something very beautiful will happen. When you have the opportunity to be quiet and actually sit, you'll be flooded with that experience. And it's then not only your personal experience, but it's being shared. Then those vibrations of peace and love will reach out and fill the atmosphere and touch everyone around you. And so you begin to experience not just peace as your own innate value, your own core value, but you move beyond that. You become an instrument for peace. You spread that peace and that love, that joy, that truth, wherever you are. Without even consciously thinking, okay, now I have to give this one love. Why just one? Why not everyone? But it happens automatically. The power of peace spreads, the power of love spreads. And so wherever you go, you're radiating that. You're doing your work, but the vibrations you're emitting are doing that, because this is now part of your natural being. Again, I've seen it with the daddies. You know, they may be engaged in other work. They have to run the whole organization. So they read emails, they read letters, they give replies, you know, they organize how many tons of rice to get, all of that, very practical things. Ask them what's the cost of sugar, and they'll tell you, because they know they have to run an organization. But yet, even as they're doing all of those things, the vibration is of peace, the vibration is of love. And ask Daddy, Daddy, are you busy? And she'll say, busy is a bad word. She does not like the word busy, because she connects it with being engrossed in something. Do your work, but don't let yourself get trapped by it. Be in soul consciousness, and yes, attention, but who you are, that will radiate, that will be shared. So, first step of meditation, going inwards, but not just when you sit here. The beauty of being here on a retreat is that everyone and everything supports you. The food, cooked with the right vibrations, pure food, that supports you. The company, that supports you. The classes, the atmosphere, everything is designed to support you in this practice of soul consciousness so that you experience who you truly are. Let's have a few minutes of meditation again and experiment with these things for the next 24 hours. Turning inwards, aware of who I am, I the soul, shine. I connect with peace, with truth, with purity, with love, with joy. This is who I am. All of these qualities are within me. I hold this awareness and this experience, and send out these vibrations out into the world, all around me. And as I share all this, it comes back to me, multiplied. I share peace. And it returns, multiplied. Om Shanti.